here. Bird Show.
Quick check in so I know what I'm dealing with this morning. Abby, how you doing? Scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the greatest day of your life yesterday.
Okay, well, considering this time last week I was in Greece, I'm going to go with not a 10. I will go with like a solid 7.5. I feel pretty good. I'm going into the weekend. I don't really have any big plans. I'm just going to like catch up with some friends, clean up my apartment, considering my cats destroyed it while I was abroad. And, you know, I'm getting some work done.
All right, 7.5. Clocking in at 7.5. Mm-hmm. How are you today?
I mean, my first gut initial reaction was undetermined.
I will pay you a compliment for yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, it's a physical one.
Okay.
So we were doing a call yesterday on Zoom.
We did. We had a board meeting yesterday.
Board meeting for Burt's Big Adventure yesterday. And Kristen was in Alpharetta, right?
Yep. So I'm doing so great that I double booked myself yesterday. So I had my Avalon noon tonight fashion fitting at the exact same time as my Burt's Big Adventure board meeting. And I'm like, how in the world did I do that? So what I did was I showed up to my fitting early and they got me in and it went fantastic. By the way, noon tonight, it's going to be gorgeous. There were signs all over Avalon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
They
support us so much during this thing every year.
Yeah, as I was walking into Intermezzo where I was going to like find a corner so I could do the meeting with you guys, because there was no way I was going to get back from Alpharetta to Buckhead in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was, you know, scoping around and there were signs everywhere about the event. So yeah, if you would like to hang out with us next Thursday, go to burtsbigadventure.org. All the details are there. There's still some general admission tickets left. VIP sold out. Actually, I did not realize this, but Molly had to extend VIP.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That means more money for Burt's Big Adventure.
Yeah. So she had extended it, but those tickets already sold out as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. The VIP is really fun for us because we get to actually hang with you guys before the show and talk a little bit. But yeah, so get your tickets online, burtsbigadventure.org, before it totally sells out. But yesterday while we were on the Zoom call, when we come in here, we see each other in like hoodies mostly because it's kind of cold in here, mm-hmm. right? Well, Kristen yesterday had some kind of, what did you have on? Well,
I had a dress, but it was like one of those
spaghetti strap dealies?
Yeah, I mean, it's a spaghetti strap dress, but it was like just super comfortable and easy to get on and off for the fitting.
Okay.
So, and that was the only reason why I wore it.
I noticed on the Zoom call, Kristen is really tightening up.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I can see it in like your arms uh-huh. and your shoulders and your chest.
Yeah.
Like you look like a real fitness chick.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Herbert, I saw the same thing when I was at the beach.
Yeah. Hard work's paying off, man.
The hard work is definitely paying off. And thank you so much for noticing.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I would say I'm doing really, really good today. And I made one adjustment yesterday. While we were doing the show, yesterday we did a couple of breaks on Charlie Kirk, right? And before we even got out of here, I was getting messages from listeners that were so unhappy with us. They hadn't even listened to the segment yet. They just saw the post that we had that Rebecca might have put up on like Instagram that had the context and like a 15-second, 20-second clip of our conversation. And people were assuming what we were saying about the entire conversation based on that clip. Or I was just receiving a crazy amount of crazy DMs from people that didn't even hear the whole thing. And I said to myself at that time, I'm not going to be online today.
That's a smart move.
I am not going to go on Instagram. I am not going to defend this show because I was proud of what we said yesterday. Everybody spoke their truth yesterday. And I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to answer DMs. I'm not going online to look at it. I didn't want to go look at news yesterday because I just feel like it's such a negative place now that every time I sign on, and maybe it's my algorithm and I just have to completely reboot it. But it's just so depressing every time I go online now, man. People with their strong opinions yelling at other people, and just it doesn't feel like a kind place. So yesterday at 10 o'clock, I decided no online for me yesterday. And around 3:30, I did like a self-check after I worked out, and I'm like, God, I feel good. Amanda's on the way over here. I feel so good. And then I'm like, I know why. I know why this is. And I really do think it had everything to do with not being online, but also realizing how much time I have in my day, extra time I have in my day, if I don't spend online.
Dude,
I spent too much time online yesterday, and that was a mistake. And I fully feel I have come to the conclusion that the internet is the problem of all of our problems. And
it is crazy,
social
man.
Media is the worst. And I say that as someone who is over social media. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it really is. The amount of judging on something that people haven't even heard, or it just made me realize, like, this is where the country is now. Once you have an opinion, you have tunnel vision, and nobody can tell you anything differently. That is it. And they interpret your words using what their sort of motivation is. And it wasn't even the things that we were saying. And I'm like, this is hopeless. So I'm just not going to do it.
I literally had the same thoughts yesterday. I spiraled for a little bit. And then I just came to the realization that I think we're at a point in this country where we're so divided that nobody is listening. People are twisting words or latching onto one thing out of context. And it made me feel really hopeless for a while. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, if I can't do anything, I can't do anything. There's, at this point for both sides, there's just no bringing anyone to the table. We need some kind of charismatic political leader to bridge that divide.
Yeah. So yesterday I checked out, and I don't know if my lesson can be your lesson, but man, if you're feeling it and you're online, check out. You don't got to answer those messages and you don't got to see it. All right.
This is The Burt Show.
I had said this for the longest time. Everybody has a superpower. Now, you might not have tapped into it just yet. I have proven to you guys for two decades, my superpower is hearing an accent that's from outside of the United States of America. And within 3 seconds of that conversation, I can identify exactly where you are from. That's my superpower. All right, Abby, what would be yours?
My superpower is the art of disassociating so much I forget where I am. This is my favorite superpower. Anytime I'm feeling the least bit uncomfortable, I just decide I'm going to shove those uncomfortable feelings down and I'm going to create my own world of delusion.
Okay, delusion is your superpower. Delusion. I like it. All right, your dental hygienist's superpower.
Yeah, so my dental hygienist is the one who has the superpower. I don't know what this says about me, but for the last year and a half, that means for the last three dentist appointments I've had, because I am a regular, I go every 6 months to O'Shea Dentistry. Ding, my friend is the dentist. My dental hygienist, Monica, is the best. She's got the gentle touch. I've been seeing her for over a decade. I don't trust anybody else to clean my teeth because I've got, you know, I'm not a fan of going to the dentist. I had a bad experience as a kid, so I need it to be like, I need kid gloves when I go to the dentist.
By the way, your teeth looking nice.
Thank you. They just got cleaned. So
you're looking real good.
I appreciate it.
All right, you got the nice tan working here. You're tightening up. Your teeth look good. Girl.
I'm trying. You know, they say, you know, if you look it, you feel it, and that's what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. All right, so
if you were a 4-H cow, you would get a lot of money. A lot
when
of people
I get
would
the
be
blue ribbon.
They would be bidding high on you right
nice.
Now.
Nice, put it right here on my collar. So I don't know why I started this like a year and a half ago, but I think it's because I didn't have time to go home and like brush my teeth. So I ate and went to the dentist, which I never do. Like that, like gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, of course, like before you go to the doctor, you're going to take a shower and like make sure scrub yourself clean, especially if it's the like, you know, your annual. And then when it comes to the dentist, of course, you're going to brush and floss your teeth that one time because you didn't do it the entire 6 months. But I ate and went and I challenged her. I said, Monica, you got to figure out what I ate by cleaning my teeth. And I kid you not, that woman got in there, started digging around for a little bit, came out and she says, is it blank? And I was like, yes, but it was part of something else. And she goes, was it blank? And I was like, yes.
Was it like really pungent where it'd be really like garlicky pasta?
No, okay. Nothing like that. Then the next visit, I said, screw it. I'm not brushing my teeth. I'm going to eat right before I go to the dentist and see if Monica can guess what's in my teeth.
Oh, my God.
So I did it again. She nailed it.
Dang, what a superpower.
She nailed it. Now, again, this is like, I'm not eating like right before, but there's like, you know, so she did it again. So my dentist appointment this week, of course, I chowed down on my food. And I go in there and she's picking at it. I'm like,
so you're not brushing your teeth before you go in there?
No.
Oh my God. I brush my teeth.
I
will like use mouthwash 2 or 3 times. It might be the first time in months that I've actually like flossed my teeth.
I just said the same thing. Like that's what I used to do. Yeah. But now I'm so cool with Monica and she's got this gift. I'm like, I can't brush my teeth. Like I have to give her the challenge. So now it's become a thing. So I eat what I ate and I go in. And then she comes and she gets me and she goes, all right, we're going to guess what's in there. And I'm like, you betcha.
So she's excited about you coming in there now. You are challenging her. You are flexing a new muscle for her.
So we get in there and she's digging around. This one was a little harder, took her a little more, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden she's like, you know, cleaning my teeth and scraping them and getting the tartar off, the plaque off, whatever. And she goes, is it blank? And I was like, yes! She's 3 for 3.
Amazing.
And again, I don't know what that says about me as a person that I've turned this into a game with my dental hygienist, but I have.
And now you'll turn it into a game for the Bircha.
Yes. So I have brought the 3 foods that she was able to guess. All right. So I'm going to take a bite. And then Bert and Abby, you're going to look inside my mouth and see if you can guess what I ate.
I'm horrified. Can we go back to just calling you a cow and, yes. and call it a day?
Look, I have drank your breast milk before. Yeah. This doesn't scare me at all. Okay, we're already running late, so let's do this. Okay. Let's take a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Get your foods ready.
My foods
you're
are ready.
You're going to chew them, and then do we have to be blindfolded or something?
Yeah, Tommy's going to have to figure out how to get you guys, or you can just turn around. I don't know.
Here's an idea. Close your eyes.
Okay, that's another one. That's cheaper. And then we have to try to guess the food that you just put in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And again, they're pretty much scentless. So it doesn't have to do with, like, you know, your nose. It's all about the visual, if you can see what's
okay.
up in there.
All right. We're getting paid for this. This is our job, you guys. This is our job.
Abby's like, I did not sign up for this.
Yeah, this is I don't think this was in my contract.
No, it's not. It's the Bert Show.
It's the Bert Show.
Everybody has a superpower. You just might not have tapped into it just yet. Kristen has a dental hygienist who has a superpower. I bet she has 2, because all dental hygienists have this one. That's the one where they can clearly understand what you are saying with all that gauze in your mouth.
Yeah, right.
They can have a full-on conversation.
Both hands in the mouth. Yeah, both hands. And they're like, So what did I say?
Yeah, you
Jimmy had a really big tantrum and then Bart got mad at you.
Okay, look, I'm gonna put this paper towel in my mouth, and you guys are gonna play dental hygienist.
Oh, okay,
before we get into your thing.
That's a lot of paper towel.
Yeah, that is, huh? Yeah.
trying to gag yourself on air.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I heard the word location. Was it location in there?
Crete. Tell me about my vacation to Crete.
Yes!
I'm a dental hygienist!
I'm not doing that again for fear I might swallow my tongue.
Oh my God, no. I think we all have to do that, and we all have to guess what someone's saying.
Okay, we could do that too, later on.
All right,
let's get to the smells.
No, not the smells. It has nothing to do with smell. Bert Weiss has everything to do with the visual, because she's got my dental hygienist, they got the mask on, they have like the goggles with the glasses and the microscope, you know, the, like, not, whatever, to make things bigger. I told a Mikey, what's it called? Magnifying glasses.
Yeah.
I was like, they're not microscopic. That's going in reverse. All right. So I will eat before I go to the dentist. And then I task my dental hygienist with figuring out what I ate. And she is 3 for 3. She's batting 1,000. And it's quite impressive.
I'm so going to do this the next time I go. And I already know what the food item is.
Okay.
Oreos.
Oh my God.
I think that one would be easy.
Inside of your mouth is going to look like a McFlurry.
I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it just to freak him out. Like, dude, come on. Really?
All right, so again, shout out to O'Shea Dentistry. I am going to send this to my friend Matt, and he's going to be like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I nobody knows. All right, and so I'm going to go ahead, close your eyes. Okay. I'm going to eat the first thing, because this was the very first thing. Hold on. I should have been better prepared. Sorry.
I'm having a very hard time keeping my eyes closed in here, because I trust nobody.
No way, you shouldn't. All right, so I'm going to take a bite.
Mm-hmm.
Peanuts.
I'm eating.
Oh, can we hear the crunch?
No, I feel like it gives it away.
No, get closer to the mic.
Oh, you love that. What is that thing?
ASMR?
Called? Yeah, UPS thing.
USSR. UPS is crazy. Delivering the good sounds right to my ears.
Like you, Bert, I made it too big.
What?
Woman
ever?
All right, you guys can open your eyes now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, just got to go over there and look at it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my God, he's walking over here and looking inside her mouth.
Oh, you're getting closer than I am.
It's like not all, there's I would say something like granola.
Incorrect.
Do I get to try now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, lucky you.
Okay. All right.
Abby's going close. She's holding her nose.
Her breath doesn't stink. You're good.
No, stick your tongue out. Stick your tongue out farther. Give me an ah.
All right. I'm not even that close, and I have a guess.
Does her breath stink? I couldn't smell
pecans?
It.
Pecans?
There are nuts, but they are not pecans.
Is it a Fig Newton?
No, it is not.
Cashews?
Ready?
Almonds.
She guessed almonds, mm-hmm. which was correct. And then she goes, wait, was it a Kind bar? And I was like, yes! Wow,
now that.
A Kind wow. bar.
That's
yes!
impressive.
Yes.
Okay, that's impressive.
Yes.
All right.
My Kind bar, dark chocolate nuts and sea salt.
You ate a Kind bar before a dentist appointment?
I know I'm evil.
Yeah.
You better tip them extra.
I know. All right, are you ready for the next one?
I know there's a nuts in the mouth joke somewhere, but it's past me now.
Yeah, we're gonna let it go. All right, close your eyes. Here's the next one. All right, this one all had to do... I don't want to give you the hint. All right, huh?
This is so dumb.
I actually took two bites because it was so tasty.
Whatever they're paying us, it's too much.
Don't say that.
Well, they have been telling me that for a long time.
I apologize. It takes me a long time
Come
to
on,
swallow.
Get it in the mouth, man.
I'm trying.
There's another joke there I'm going to just skip over.
You guys are opening. It's on. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, are you going to put it up?
Okay. It's in.
All right.
Come on. You're never going to get this one.
Oh, my God.
The tension. He just tried to. He got so close to kissing her.
Let me see.
That scared the out of me. You were kind of giving her like the Trump lips.
Nothing in there, man. You gave me nothing.
I know. See, that's the thing. You have to have the little pick. Because what had happened is, I'm going to spare you this one, Abby. What happened was she was picking around and she pulled it out from in between two teeth, right? So it was the skin of something and it was green.
Oh, my God.
Apple?
Yeah, it was a green apple.
Apple.
And she guessed it.
All right.
That one stumped her. It took her a little longer. But she's like, and it's so funny. She's like, this one's green. And like, she's actually contemplating it. It's
gross.
Amazing.
You're all right. Green.
And I really don't think you guys are going to get the last one, but
okay.
I'll try.
As long as we can see it. Give us something here.
Okay.
Well, okay.
That's the thing. Like, okay, close your eyes.
All right.
All right.
I think this was all an elaborate ruse to get Kristen to be able to eat this early in the morning on the air.
No, I swear, Monica is so good. And if you are, I have feared the dentist, and you need somebody with a gentle touch, go see Monica. Oh, okay, we're good.
Ready?
This one you should get.
He's getting a good look. He's getting it from all angles, up, down, left, right.
It's like doing squats over there.
Yeah, I would say peanut. Oh, yeah, some kind of nut.
No. So no nut in the mouth.
Nope. There it is.
You guys laughed, not me.
There it was.
I said words. Why is it kind of green?
Uh-huh.
Stick out your tongue.
Cilantro? Oh, you're close.
What was it?
Arugula. And when I tell you, arugula. She didn't just say salad, she said arugula.
What?
And I was like, my
damn,
God.
That is a gift right there, man.
It is such a gift.
I think the paper towel in the mouth one might be better for radio later on.
Okay, I think so too. but if you would like,
flesh that one out.
If you would like to play this game the next time you go to your dentist, all dental hygienists across the country are going to hate me right now. But let me tell you, it makes the dentist more fun.
The Burt Show.
This is The Burt Show.
If you are a modern day single woman out in the dating world, there is a fine line you have to consider when you are dating a man. And that fine line is, what is the difference between a man taking care of me and being infantilized? Let me explain. So I was talking with a good friend the other day about a recent date that she went on, and she's a lot like me where she's kind of like that girl boss. She's the 2025 girl boss. You know, she's killing it at work. She is a very independent lady. It's been a minute since she's been in a long-term serious relationship. And I think sometimes when you've been an independent lady for a long time, you can kind of get in this, nobody needs to take care of me. I've got this kind of almost masculine mindset of I don't need anybody. And I think we have had discussions about what it's been like to kind of make that transition of being okay with sort of chivalry and sort of like the typical Southern gentleman, but also like it not going too far to where it feels a little bit like infantilization. So she went out with this guy. This was a second date and she was kind of on the fence about him. But one of the things that she really, really liked about him was that she just called him a really good guy. He's the type of guy that opens doors for you, makes the reservations, offers to send you an Uber for whenever you have your next date. She's like, you know, I'm not really sure that this is my guy, but I really like him because he just treats me so well. Like I just can see him being such a good partner for the long run. So I'm going to flesh this out as long as possible. So she goes on the second date with him. Of course, he's the perfect gentleman, makes the reservations for the restaurant. He offers to send her an Uber so that she can get to the restaurant safely. But she said that he did this one thing during the date that made her question whether or not she was just having a knee-jerk reaction to chivalry or whether or not she felt like she was being babied by this guy. So the first course of their dinner was at like it was at a tapas restaurant. And she said that he offered to order, you know, some cheese and some meats. And of course, he does the very chivalrous thing where he doesn't ask her to look at the menu and order. He orders for her. And she's like, okay, it feels a little weird. Mm. But you know what? This is a very chivalrous thing for guys to do. So I'm going to take it and, you know, just take it in stride. And you know, he's a good guy.
Can
so
we pause there for just one second?
Yeah.
Is that major ick? Well, Cassie, of course, it's going to be major ick for you. For sure, right? Right? You wouldn't like that.
I would like it
really?
If we have that kind of relationship.
But not a first date.
No, not a first date. Unless we go in and he's like, we're going here because this is the best and we've, like, mm-hmm. this dish, you have to try it.
How about you?
Yeah, for a first date, because you don't know me, you don't know what I like.
Yeah.
So I don't need you ordering for me.
I don't know why it gives such controlling vibes to me on a first date.
I think it has gotten such a bad rep, especially in like movies and stuff, because I feel like it's kind of a trope that's used to show like the controlling boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think it's kind of an old fashioned thing mm-hmm. for a guy to be like, what are you interested in? Like, do you have any like suggestions for the appetizers? And if she's just kind of like order whatever, he's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to take control here and I'm just going to pick the goat cheese, the brie, and the salami. So that's what he ends up doing. And she's like, okay, that feels a little bit different for me. But you know what? I want to be treated like a lady. Here's this guy treating me like a lady. But this is where things get a little weird. So he orders the charcuterie. And she said that she felt a little infantilized by what he did next. So the charcuterie comes out. And he goes, hang on, I've got this. So he starts serving her the charcuterie onto her plate, the cheese and the salami. And not only did he serve her the cheese and salami onto her plate, he then starts cutting the cheese and salami for her.
No.
And she's like, is this chivalry or is this guy like babying me? Yeah. Like at this point, it's starting to feel a little icky. Like it's one thing for you to hold my door and to order for me, but then to like actually cut my food.
Yeah. Yeah, too much.
That is way too much.
Wait, okay, so she's not off base because I'm sitting there and we were with a big group of girls and we were having this discussion and some girls were eating it up. They were like, this is total princess treatment. Like for a guy to do literally everything for you down to the fact that he's like cutting your food, some girls were all about it.
Really?
And I don't know what it says about me, but it would have made me throw up onto my charcuterie plate.
I would have been like, what are you doing to my food?
Right, I would have been so grossed out by myself if I was that person.
The idea would have
never come into my head.
So like I'm playing out different scenarios, right? So like if it was a family style restaurant, okay? Mm-hmm. And charcuterie is a shareable, like a shareable dish. But if we are doing like a family style, like it's a like a big bowl of pasta and you're like, here, let me, and you like, you take my plate and you put the pasta on there and you hand it to me. All right, well, that was polite.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you reach over and you start cutting up my pasta or if you start twirling it on the fork for me, I want to be like, what in God's green earth are we doing right now?
No, literally, it was like he did everything except for chew it for her. I was like, at this point, do you just want to baby bird it into her mouth?
And once again, our charcuterie board is full of choices. And like, maybe I want the brie. Maybe I want the manchego. Maybe I want the prosciutto. Maybe I want the salami. You don't know. So let me pick what I want off the charcuterie board, which you already chose for us.
You're a small-minded lady, Kristen. You can't make decisions. You didn't even choose the cheese, Kristen. You just have to let him make the big cheese decision for you.
Here's what's funny is like when we go out to dinner, my husband and I, granted, we've been together for like 20 years now. I'm the one that ends up like ordering 99% of the time.
Thank God, because he takes so freaking
that is so
long
true.
To pick anything on that menu. I think, were you with the show when I picked that, when I picked the chip off of that, my date's face?
No, she wasn't. God.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's the last time I saw her.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you do?
We were at Super Rica, and we were talking, and we had gone out a couple of different times, and she had a chip on her face, and for whatever reason, my dumb ass thought, like, rather than go, hey, you got a little something-something, literally took my fingers and took the chip off of her cheek, like, right underneath her mouth.
Oh, wait. Did you eat it after?
Maybe.
Stop!
He did.
Stop. It'd be one thing for you to, like, take your thumb and, like, brush it away.
I gross myself out.
So romantic. The fact that you ate off her face, I would have called the authorities.
I'm serious. I just don't like me.
So it was a chip on her face leading to a chip on her shoulder.
Yeah. We didn't last long after that. She wasn't into it anyway.
It's weird for sure, but I actually think it's oddly intimate. If a guy did that to me on a date, I'd be like, oh my God, we're at this point where we're so comfortable that he feels that's like a boyfriend move. Like if Chad did that, then I would be like, oh, weird, but okay. I don't care. That's cute. We're that comfortable. So if she was into you, I would have been thrilled.
Yeah. But she wasn't.
Yeah. Emphasis on weird, but okay.
Yeah. Weird, but okay.
Listen. It's the Bert Show.
You know how we're doing like Gen X versus Gen Z trivia most days now, late in the show, and Gen Z's been kicking our ass. I saw this on TikTok. It just came out a couple of days ago. I thought we could have some fun with this. Someone on TikTok asked people that were over 30 years old to name some of the things we had to tolerate as kids that you guys, no chance, would destroy you.
Okay.
All right. So let's run through a couple of these. Cass, you want to get in on this?
Yeah.
Being trapped in a car with both parents smoking cigarettes. It's cold out. They might have had the windows up even. That literally happened.
Okay, so windows were never up. Windows were always down. I'll never forget. I grew up in Kentucky, and so, you know, we were a Pepsi family, all right? I know.
Ew.
I know. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Ew, David.
We were a Pepsi family. And we did the do. So we're in the car. And so there was always empty soda can where, you know, cigarette butts would be emptied in there. And so I will never forget my mom picking us up, Morgan and I hopping in the Astro van. Morgan's thirsty and takes a big old swig from that soda can.
And it was just full of cigarette butts and ashes. Oh my God. Ew.
He turned green. Turned green.
Oh my God.
I specifically remember, man, we had a Volkswagen Bug back in the day, and both of my parents smoked cigarettes. And while the window was cracked, it wasn't rolled down. So just the cigarette smoke could get out of like this inch of window, but the rest of it was going all over the car, man. You never had to deal with that.
Oh my God, no. I had one apartment and I called the police on them immediately the second I smelled cigarette smoke because I grew up in an era where they were like, don't smoke, it's bad for you. So yeah, not for me.
This is really old school reference, but have you ever been in a station wagon where the seat faced backwards?
Sorry,
and you got to sit in it?
You lost me at station wagon.
Yeah, right.
Dude, mine are not so much cigarette based, but like technology based. Like, could you imagine anytime you wanted to call your friends, you had to call and talk to their parents first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because you called the home phone.
That's right.
The landline.
Or there was, if you couldn't stream any music, so you had to wait until it played on the radio and then hope to record it. We were just talking about this yesterday.
Yep.
And the DJs never shut up over the intro. Stop talking. I'm trying to record.
Gotta hit the post, man.
Or you're downloading on Napster or LimeWire and your internet goes out halfway through and now the file's corrupted and you can't finish the song. Yeah, I know it was illegal, but everybody did it.
Did you ever toy with Napster at your age?
I think I just missed Napster. So I was in the age, like, I still remember burning songs onto a CD. I was obsessed with Jesse McCartney, so it was basically like a Jesse McCartney and Dream Street mix. But my biggest music memories are my iPod Nano and watching the same three music videos that I could afford over and over and over again on that thing.
Here's one computer related, like you were just talking to about. Before computers, having to write multiple drafts by hand, first, second, and third drafts all written out for college.
Yeah.
Or high school.
Yeah, I remember that in high school.
All handwritten.
Yeah, I always had a nasty bump on my finger because I don't hold my pencil correctly.
Mine's still there.
Yeah. Is it?
I still have the callus. It's kind of going away, but you know, it's still there.
I had a computer by high school. We had computer lab.
Yeah. No, I mean, we would do first and second drafts, but it wasn't necessarily for like the way you wrote. It was more like improve your writing.
Did either of you guys have computer lab, but if you finished earlier, you got to play Oregon Trail?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
The best.
Uh-huh. I'm old enough to remember microfiche. You don't even know this word. You'll have to Google it.
That sounds like an STD.
I know microfiche.
That's way back in the day. Having to babysit infants and small children and you were only 12 years old.
This blows my mind. When I think back, I mean, I remember a dad walking me home down the street because that was a polite thing to do. Uh-huh. And as an adult, I'm like, you left me with your children and you wouldn't let me walk down the street by myself in our very, very safe neighborhood. Right. This is problematic.
Being bored. Kids today, you kids today, you don't got to be bored anymore. There were times where all we had to do is be outside and do nothing. No. Nothing.
I think I might have been the last generation of getting to be bored. Like, my idea of fun on a long road trip would be getting one of those American Girl doll magazines where they would show, like, all the things that are coming out in the winter collection. And then I would turn on my Jesse McCartney CD and then I would make up little scenes about what the American Girl dolls would do to that song. Not like a dirty way, like a fun, like, haha, girlhood way.
I don't remember my parents giving me anything for that backseat. No matter how far we were going, it was just like stare at the back of the passenger seat or look outside.
Raw dog it.
So my mom gave us 10 raffle tickets. My brother had 10 raffle tickets and I had 10 raffle tickets. Every time we fought, we had a raffle ticket taken away. And if we had no raffle tickets, by the time we got to Madeira Beach, Florida, we weren't allowed to go swimming. So we wouldn't even be to the freaking Tennessee line and we'd both be down to one freaking ticket. But let me tell you, we were on our best behavior till we got to Florida.
You were.
You're on The Burt Show.
Seemed like a lot of unnecessary effort here in this stepping into psycho.
Yeah, Chrissy is stepping into psycho in the name of love because she came across a hot ER doctor when her friend had some serious injury. They went on a Thursday. That's very important. They went on a Thursday, saw this hot ER doctor, and she thought, you know, I didn't really get the chance to make my move because, you know, my friend was in the hospital. So what if I fake some kind of injury to get myself into the ER on a Thursday when allegedly this man would be working?
So she had this plan yesterday, and we call it stepping into psycho because normally, you know what, you're very level-headed person, but every now and then you just do something that's out of character. So I would say going to see the ER doctor and faking an injury is a little out of character.
It's a little crazy. I did give her some suggestions because I'm equally insane, but you know what? I want to help a girl out. This is just me being a girl's girl, and I see a girl finding someone she finds attractive, and that doesn't happen often for the ladies, so we got to help her get her mans.
Chrissy was clearly determined because she did go yesterday. Hey, Chrissy.
Hey.
Good morning. Tell us all about it. We're just going to sit back and enjoy the ride.
By the way, no person after hanging out at the ER sounds as happy as you do right now.
Yeah, I probably left there the happiest person ever.
Okay.
Oh, all my right, God.
That's a good
okay.
Tease, so
yeah.
Tell us what happened.
I guess her copay wasn't that bad.
Okay, so I decided to go with a sprained ankle from a jogging injury. So I figured that was, like, safe, believable, but not life-threatening. So I, like, got my makeup, made a little fake bruise, wrapped it up a little floppy DIY style.
I'm guessing that's not going to get you back there quickly. Like a sprained ankle, you're going to sit there for a while.
Yeah, probably. They're like, go to urgent care, right? Loser.
Yeah, I did end up waiting a while, but it was fine. So I, like, practiced my little fake limp. Super nervous, excited. Like in the car on the way there, I was just like heart pounding, freaking out. Like, what if he's not working? What if he doesn't remember me? So I'm like blasting hype music to get myself hyped up, and I'm second guessing myself, obviously. Also, like, what if they x-ray me? They're gonna know I'm lying. And I just was like, okay, it's worth the risk. It's fate. This is going to be the story we tell our grandkids. So I get to the ER and I'm in the waiting room and just paranoia is creeping in. Every time a nurse looks at me, I'm like, they know. Can they tell I'm faking it?
You're starting to think this is the dumbest idea I've ever had in my life.
At any point in time, where you're like, I think it's time for me to hobble out of here.
The thought occurred to me, but I stuck with it.
Okay.
I did think, I was starting to think I might have to report the chest pains because I was like so anxious. Like, room felt so hot and loud, and like I just adrenaline basically the whole time. I'm sitting in a waiting room at the ER. So
you could have done all of them. Like, you could have done the heart thing. You could have done the sprained ankle. You could have started seizing.
Mm-hmm. Headache,
all at the same time. Anything to get you back there, but you just go with the ankle. Okay.
Yeah, I stuck with the ankle,
Dump, please.
All right.
Hey, go ahead.
Sorry.
You're excited. It's okay.
Go ahead. You're all good.
Okay. I said to myself, you know, I'm just overexcited. I get back into the exam room, and he comes in. I'm like trying to fake his painful smile and keep my limp consistent. And he's like, "Haven't I seen you before?"
Okay.
And I was like, "Oh my god!" So I like total giddy thrill, and like, so I go into like crazy flirty banter, like, "Oh, I'm so accident prone. I need someone to look out for me."
Yeah, you did see me. I was running through your dreams last night. That's how I got here.
But also, I'm screaming inside. It's working. It's working. Also, terrified I'm going to get caught. But it played out. He didn't, you know, he was like, "I don't think it was that serious, really." But
you know. Wait a second. So he unwraps your DIY job and your makeup and everything. Clearly, he knows what is going on, right?
I don't know. I'll ask him eventually.
Okay, because if you're putting makeup on as a bruise, this dude already knows like what this is all about, right? I mean, he's a doctor.
The purple bruise eyeshadow is like coming off on your white wrap. It's like, why is your bruise spreading?
I mean, this dude knew exactly what you were
doing.
He's
like, maybe you've got MRSA.
Or he's the worst doctor in the world.
Yeah, if he believed you were actually injured, you might want to reconsider having a crush on him.
Yeah, Dr. McDreamy is now Dr. McDummy.
I don't know. Maybe he knew, but I flirtily asked him for a follow-up over dinner, and he agreed.
Okay.
And he wouldn't like exchange phone numbers at work, but he gave me his Insta handle, and so I followed him, and I like slid my contact info into his DMs, and he responded, and after his shift, and we got a date this weekend.
Come on. Oh my God. Really good for you.
Love is okay, back.
Forget
now.
That this is totally unprofessional. What Who cares?
Yes. Yeah. So do you disclose, or do you disclose to him on this first date? So do you address the elephant in the room that is the non-sprained ankle?
Well, yeah, when she shows up in her 6-inch stilettos, he's going to be like, yeah, maybe she was fibbing a little bit.
For sure he knows. I wouldn't even bring it up.
No?
There's no way he doesn't know. Of course.
Like, I just must have tweaked an old injury, but it's fine.
Nah, he knows. I stay silent on the thing, don't you think?
Uh-huh. You better shut up and just strut up. Yeah. Shut up and then strut up.
All right, good luck this weekend, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Get it. The Burt Show.